Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. It's episode 85. Episode 85. And I'm still not in the iTunes store. Oh, man. I don't know. I got this guy working for me. Not working for me. He's working. Well, he's kind of working for me. I don't know. I don't have a lot of good feeling about this now because it's not progressing. I'm not getting the right answers. I'm going to have to... There's an IT guy I'm going to... I don't know. I'm thinking about doing... I'm not even completing my sentences. I shouldn't even be talking about this. Because the person... Because what if he listens to it and knows that I'm thinking... No, I don't know. This guy that's, you know, lives in my building, he's supposed to be putting this together. And I don't know. He's not really much progress happening. And I asked him the other day and he said he was reading my code and it was giving him a headache. So... I don't know. I thought it was going to be like, I thought he figured out what to do and he was going to do it. And now it's, I don't know. I'm a little confused. So maybe I need to go to somebody that really, really, really knows how to do this. This has like been a wild goose chase. Even ran into a friend of mine who's got a podcast. He's in the iTunes store, but he didn't know. He had somebody do it for him. Okay. As well, but he lost touch with that person. I don't know, whatever. You know, when I should have asked him again, because when I asked him online, we emailed each other. He said I don't know. I'm getting lost in this kind of thing. All right, I'm starting over. I'm not going to start. I was going to start over with the flute, but no, I'm starting over with from this point. I'm going to leave that in. To show you that how jumbled I can be. Well, you know, if you listen to this thing, you know how jumbled I can be. No, I'm just really frustrated about not getting this, moving this forward. It just seems like I'm at a certain point, and I've been at a certain point for a long time, and, I don't know, maybe I'm not supposed to be in the iTunes store. Maybe I'm supposed to be the one podcast that doesn't get into the iTunes store. It's not to sell anything there, because it's not like this is always going to be free. It's just that way other people can see that it exists. And then you, my fans, can write reviews and comments, and it'll get noticed more. Now I'm starting to whine. All right. You know what I think it is? I think I got the post-Jewish holiday blues. It was Yom Kippur yesterday, the Day of Atonement, literally the holiest day of the year for Jews, when we're supposed to fast and atone for our sins. And I guess I did neither. It's not like I'm bragging or I'm proud of it. It's just that I don't follow... I don't go for religion. That's all. I'm sorry. You know, I don't know... I'm not doing something just because the people say, well, that's the way you're supposed to do. I mean, the Gentiles aren't fasting. Why? Just because I came out of a certain place and I'm considered a Jew, I have to like not eat on Saturday? And besides, it was my cheat day. It was my cheat day yesterday, which I thought like I kind of... did sort of a... I've been kind of scaling back the cheat days, but I have to say that I still felt a little weird when I woke up today, so I'm just starting to feel more like myself, so I'm going to have to keep scaling back these cheat days, because I don't think my body really wants this kind of cheating kind of stuff. You know, some of it's okay. You know, I had some sushi with brown rice, which I think I could even probably have occasionally... I would have on a non-cheat day. But then I also had some pasta, which I wouldn't have unless I was feeling cheaty. But then I had a couple... Oh, I had some cake pops. A girl who works in a bakery, one of the girls that works in the bakery at Ralph's, who has assisted me in my cheat day search sometimes, has a little side business where she makes... baked goods, and she made what's called cake pops, which is cake on like a lollipop stick with like a coating. Oh my gosh, I'm ready to move in. It was delicious. But I would have been fine if I would have just had two cake pops and a little bit of ice cream after that, and I bet you I would have been okay. But no, I think I had a little more ice cream than I should have had. I had a little more something else and a little more something else. And all that little more stuff, when I woke up today, was like, oh man, I'm not feeling that great. But like I said, I'm feeling better now. And so that's that. And I'm glad the Jewish holidays, the high holidays, are over. I just feel pressure sometimes. I think it's a cultural thing. Because I remember as a kid, I just remember it. And I had kind of I was a little traumatized because I was forced to go to Orthodox Hebrew school three times a week. When in fact, my family was not Orthodox. It was just they just sent me there because it was a convenience kind of thing. And I wasn't the only kid that was in that situation. There was several of us who were not from Orthodox families that went to this rabbi. And this rabbi would tell us some pretty harsh stuff. But I don't want to get into it, you know. And I became a real class clown, disruptive force towards the end. And then I went to I did my bar mitzvah, studied for my bar mitzvah. And then when I conducted the Saturday morning services, and because I could kind of sing, which I didn't realize I could, what do you call those guys? Altakakers, old guys, they wanted me to, apparently wanted me to study to become a cantor. The cantor is the person that sings the prayers in the temple. And that would have meant Hebrew high school. And guess what, folks? I don't think that was my calling. So that's that. But I do wish everybody, all my Jewish friends, and people that are not my Jewish friends, a very happy holidays. Although I don't know if somebody asked me last week, can you say happy Rosh Hashanah to somebody? Well, sure, because it's Happy New Year. But can you say happy Yom Kippur? You know, that's the thing. Can you say happy Yom Kippur? I don't know about that. That's something maybe I'll have to Google at some point. Because you're saying, have a happy day of atonement. I guess you could. Have an easy day. Maybe you have an easy Yom Kippur. Where the fast is easy and the atonement is easy. Ah, whatever. Whatever, 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 whatever. God bless everybody. Okay. I got a call. This was an unusual call because I got a call to be in a focus group. If you don't know what a focus group is, it's they get people together to get their opinions on products or whatever. It could be a TV show, it could be a product, it could be a political thing, whatever. And back in my super duper struggling years, not like I'm completely out. I am out of them. I'm not struggling anymore. Okay, folks, I'm doing fine. But when I was a young, struggling, starving artist who managed to still gain weight, I used to do these focus groups, and so I was on some list, signed up with this one person in particular. So getting this call this week from somebody I didn't even know, asking me if I wanted to make $100, but unfortunately I'm already committed. I couldn't go to this particular, the two times they had available. And I was like, wow, this is like a blast from the past or something. I used to do this a lot. Sometimes it was at a point where that $50 or $100 was going to mean, the difference between having any money or having no money. Absolutely no money. And I used to do a lot of them, like I said, and sometimes you would get lucky, and what they would always book more people than they needed. And then this happened to me more than once, I believe, where they didn't need me, and they still paid me, and they sent me home. So those people had to go in, the ones that got picked, had to go spend like a couple hours, and they got the same amount of money as me, and I just showed up and had maybe a sandwich or something, because they always had food. at these focus groups. And this lady that used to book me in this focus group, she was so corrupt. You know, she would call up and say, hi. She would always make these lines of, hi, Al. You're going to go in and pretend that you're a car mechanic. You're married. You have 3 children. You make $47,000 a year. You have a mortgage. And they're going to ask you your opinion on this particular coffee. And I'd go in there and I'd pretend, you know. And in those days, you also could even lie about your age. You didn't have to show your any kind of proof of identification. They got hit to that later on. But the most bizarre thing she ever had me do was last minute she called me and she told me that one of her people couldn't make it. And she said, rather than, you know, book me, she said, I would go there and impersonate him. I would be him. This is the truth. And his name was Sean, S-E-A-N, which is, you know, that's kind of an Irish name, right, Sean? I don't know. And so his name is Sean, and he was an accountant. Okay, folks, at the time I'm driving some beat-up old car. I'm a comedian that's struggling and an actor. Got to put that in. And I show up, and they don't ask for ID, and I'm Sean the accountant. And, you know, they go around the table, and everybody says what they do. And, you know, I was like, hi, I'm Sean, and I'm an accountant. I mean, nobody looked less like a Sean or an accountant than me, I believe. I mean, maybe I could pass as an accountant, I guess. But Sean, I don't know. And the weird thing was, they always have these, excuse me, these two-way mirrors. So the client is sitting behind the mirror, and you can't see them, but they can see you. To you, it appears to be a mirror. To them, it's a window. And so I, unfortunately, was facing the two-way mirror, and I kept worrying that they were going to, at some point, somebody was going to come busting through the door and say, this guy's a fraud. As a matter of fact, I could see the word fraud printed on my forehead, coming out like the Exorcist, when she had like stuff coming out of her skin. I think she had words coming out of her skin. Like the word fraud was coming out of my forehead. And then I forgot what the product was, but luckily I got through it. And what happened was at the end, we're standing up and we're in line and we're just leaving. We're going to go get our money. And this guy next to me says, so, he goes, you're an accountant. I go, yeah. He goes, ah. He goes, yeah, you can never have too many accountants. And I wasn't sure if he was, you know, seeing through me or he was actually being real. I couldn't read it and I didn't want to read it. I just wanted to get my money and get out of there. And I did. I jumped into my beater car and I left. If they would have seen the car I got into, they would have known I was not an accountant, okay? Right there, that would have busted me right there. I found out that the proper use. We were talking to a Latina because she said Latina, but she's of Mexican descent. And I asked her, "Is it Latina?" And she goes, "Actually, she or is it Hispanic?" She says she prefers Hispanic or Chicana because that she says is specifically for Mexican Americans. I didn't know that. That's what she said. I'm taking a word for it right now. I'm going to keep asking. I probably should Google that too. Hey, Google, you know, with Google, you could get answers like, you know, 1, 2, 3. Why am I bothering asking these people of Spanish descent when I can go right to Google? Google. Speaking of Spanish, this week the guy that does the plumbing for our building, the plumber, came by. A nice guy named Hector. He's Spanish. He's from some Spanish descent. But he seems like he's American born. But he speaks fluent Spanish. And I was out there doing my exercise. And I saw him. We always joke around with each other because he always A lot of times you have to shut the water off. Like, oh, please don't shut the water off. So Janet was there. You know, Janet has a very limited ability in English. I mean, this is not an insult. She really, it's just, she very rarely understands anything I say on the first pass, and she needs to brush up on her English if she wants to, you know. But anyway, God love her; she got a good heart. And but her and Hector, they were in her house with one of Hector's one of his assistants, also of Spanish descent, and they were laughing up a storm. You know, explosive laughter while I'm doing my exercise and speaking in Spanish, and it was beginning to annoy me. Now, not so much, a lot of times I'll have to think, like, you know, I want to be the one to get the laughs, okay? I'll admit it. There's a thing that I want to be, I don't want, you know, I don't like it. I mean, I don't always, I mean, if somebody's really funny and they're getting laughs and I'm not the one, all right, I don't mind. You know, but if it's sort of like, I don't understand it, like in this case, I don't know what's going on. And I'm like thinking, what are they laughing about? Are they laughing about, like, you know, the plumbing? What could they possibly be laughing about? Like, oh, did you see the pipes in that apartment? I can't believe it. The pipes were so, you know, more, you know, whatever. I just don't know what, I just want to find out, what are you guys laughing about? I mean, and it wasn't like, I mean, it was like raucous. Is that, I mean, explosive. The type of laughter that you just go, man, you know, if I could get these kind of laughs on stage continuously, things are going good. So I don't know what that was. I went to see my doctor, my general practitioner, this past week, and you know, just to do like a little bit of a checkup. And you know, he asked me if I wanted a flu shot. And I was like, no. No, I don't. I don't like, you know, I've been reading so much negative stuff about flu shots and how they're useless. And, you know, he's trying to get me to do a flu shot. And he wants me to do a more extensive physical. Like, I just did two physicals in the last year for just friggin' surgeries. You know, and he said, oh, well, I did extensive one the first time. Second time was so extensive. And it's just like, all right. I mean, He's a good guy, but he's a little too much, he's on the party line, you know, I need to clear my throat. He's a little bit too much on the party line, you know, with the AMA and drugs and everything's, you know, take a drug, here, have a drug, and da-da-da, da-da-da. So, but I like the guy. I don't know, what's my point? Oh, so I'm getting in the elevator with this woman, and turns out she's going in the same place. I ask her what time her appointment is. She's at 3. I go, my appointment's at 3. So it's just like they just give everybody the same appointment, and then, you know, so you don't really have to call. If I was running 5-10 minutes late, I would call. Hey, I'm running late. They don't care. Just show up. 3:05, 3:10, 3:30, 4:15 the next day. Who cares? Who cares? I don't know. This could be a pretty short, a shorter podcast. I got places to go today. I'll tell this one story. I wasn't going to tell it about this girl. This girl that at this place I go to, I used to go to. I don't go in anymore. It was a physical therapy place. She was one of the physical therapists. And, you know, we used to joke around. I didn't work with her directly. We used to joke around. And the day I was leaving, when I was finally, I was leaving the place, I was saying goodbye to people. And she said to me, you know, I always felt there was a connection between us. And I was like, really? Are you joking with me? She goes, no. And I didn't really know what to do with that because one of the guys I work with told me, at one point, because we were talking, we'd see girls there, and I'd ask him if he ever dated any girls there, and he goes, no, there's a policy that you can't, you know, fraternize with the people that go there. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And so I thought, well, maybe I guess you can't fraternize. I don't know what to do. I was like, kind of, you know, dumbstruck. I wasn't expecting it. So I didn't do anything. And so I moved on. And then I had to go back and see my particular therapist last week. And so I called up to, I had to call up for some reason. I had an appointment. I had to actually reschedule, and she actually answered the phone, which was a coincidence because she doesn't normally answer the phone. And I told her, you know, I was coming in, and she was like, oh, okay. And then she again mentioned that she always felt, feels this connection between us. And I was like, well, what are we going to do about this connection? And she said, oh, I guess we'll high-five each other. So, I didn't know what to do. Again, I'm not, you know, so two times the connection. And so then I go there. And I meet with my therapist, and we have our meeting. And I see her, but I don't really get to talk to her. You know, she's across the way, and we smile at each other. And I'm done, and I leave, and I go and talk to the lady up front, who's a very nice lady, kind of a pal of mine when I was there. And so I was talking to her, and I was asking her about this particular lady. I go, you know, what's her story? Is she married? No, she's single. Oh, all right. Well, do you think I could possibly email her? You know, I mean, she's telling me there's a connection between us. I don't know. Might as well take a shot. So she said, yeah, no, go ahead. So I emailed her, and I said, hey, you know what? You know, you mentioned two times that we had a connection, so I thought let's talk about this. This is my number. You can give me a call if you want. And that's that. And she emails me back that, you know, the conversation was misinterpreted. All right, you know, it was misinterpreted. I even asked her, I asked her the first time, are you joking? And she said, no. All right, so, and then the second time, you know, we did talk about the high five thing. So apparently I misinterpreted, and she said she wasn't really interested in pursuing anything with me, which, you know, stung a little bit. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's you know, maybe she, here's what I'm thinking in my head. Maybe she did kind of like me, but she can't go further with it because of her job. But more than likely, what I think is she's just a confused woman that likes to, you know, play games, you know, and flirt with men. And then when they, you know, if they, you know, call her on it, she kind of runs away. So I was, you know, I just said, okay, sorry for the misinterpretation, you know. I was disappointed because I was kind of, you know, with me, I started looking at, you know, scenarios. Hey, we'll be doing it. But then I realized, wait a minute, our schedules are so completely opposite that I don't see how we would have ever gotten together anyway. So, but the fact that she's claiming I misinterpreted our conversation, no, I didn't misinterpret. You misspoke, Miss Flirty Pants. You know, I'm a big flirt, but I do it kind of, I'm a cool flirt, you know. I try not to lead on, I shouldn't say that. I don't know. It's done. It did. Ah, screw it. Anyway. All right. Okay, anything else I got to say here, folks? One last thing. I was talking to this. I went to this garage, parked my car. I hadn't been in this place in a long time. I see this guy, and I go, wow, you know, they automated a lot of the, you know, the garage. You need a card. You know, you take a ticket to get in, and you got to pay at a machine and blah, blah, blah. So I said to the one, there was a guy that was there that I remember from being there before. I guess they let a lot of those guys aren't here anymore, huh? And he laughed and goes, oh, yeah, almost 1 month. And I don't know what he's talking about because I know for a fact that this garage has been automated for probably 1 or 2 years. So I don't know what he was talking about, unless he means that those guys were let go after a month. You see, that was a case of, I don't know, a guy, maybe he misinterpreted what I said. And then maybe I misinterpreted what he said. All right, folks, this is it. All right, not bad. Almost 25 minutes. That's a good podcast. Thank you for listening. Hope I get this technological thing fixed. I really thought it was on its... It still could be on its way. I just kind of... The person that's working on it, I just didn't feel like the... I don't know. I just have to talk to him again and see. You know, if he wants to do it, if he doesn't want to do it, it's fine. you know, he's kind of my neighbor and kind of a friend, so I don't want to make it weird for him. But anyway, until next time, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.